Hello, you're listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind radio reading. Lowell Association for the Blind is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. It's your main source of accessible community news and information. We're located in Lowell, Massachusetts. We read local news, editorials, feature stories, and more. Lowell Association for the Blind is brought to you by volunteers and staff of the Lowell Association for the Blind. I'm Leslie. I'll be reading to you today from the Tewksbury Town Crier. Lowell Association for the Blind would like to thank the Nancy and Richard Donahue Charitable Foundation for their support. The lead story today on the front page is telling us, residents of Heatherwood celebrate Veterans Day with a musical performance. And we're also told the Planning Board continues discussion on over 55 project on Astill Street. And this article is by Rosalind Impink in Tewksbury. The Tewksbury Planning Board met on November 17 at Town Hall with all members present. Town Planner Alex Lauder reported that the Winter Community Market will be held once a month in December, January, and February, indoors at the Senior Center. The annual tree lighting will be held on the Town Common on December 5th, with free events for families and a visit from Santa. The Open Space and Recreation Plan Committee will be holding a visioning session on December 1st at the library. Residents are invited to sign up at www.nmcog.org/Tewksbury Library.org. The board returned to a discussion on a site plan review, special permit, and land disturbance permit application for 15 and 41 Astill Street. The proposed project would include 90 units across three five-story buildings for residents aged 55 and over. Access is planned via Main Street with an emergency services access road on Astill Street. A project was originally proposed for this site in 2018, but was stalled during the pandemic. Proponents have noted that the project is near the highway and public transit and would advance statewide goals of increasing housing production, though nearby residents have raised concerns over noise and light pollution, loss of trees, and increased traffic volume on Main Street. Attorney David Plunkett, representing the proponents, said that the Mass DOT issued curb cut access permit for Main Street. DOT also required an Astill Street traffic review. He noted a 55 and over residential development is an allowed use of the parcel and revised renderings. Chair Steve Johnson emphasized the need for a traffic study to be presented to the board, even if MassDOT did not require it, so that the town could solicit a peer review report of matters to people, he said. The proponent's engineer explained that per capacity analysis, the project would not have a significant impact on traffic. Member Vinny Fratalia said he did not agree with the analysis that other members questioned and the count methodology. Member Jonathan Champa asked if the walkway down to the street level would be ADA compliant, considering the grade of the hill. The proponent explained that a series of appropriately graded ramps would descend to Main Street. Ciampa also asked about the light spillover to other residential properties, and the representatives and evergreen trees could be added to the landscaping plan. The board took public comment, including several letters by residents. Residents raised questions over light pollution, impact the traffic study, and a future need for traffic lights and runoff from snow melt. I don't think there's any better traffic experts than the residents in this room, said Dan Dooley. The board continued the item to the December 15th meeting. The next meeting is scheduled for December 15th. Watch full meetings online at www.youtube.com/TewksburyTV. Another article is telling us the state pushes to curb rodentside use. This article is by Paige Impink in Tewksbury. Massachusetts lawmakers, local officials, and wildlife advocates are rallying behind new legislation that would sharply limit the use of anticoagulant rodenticides, toxic rat poison that have been linked to the deaths of pets and wildlife across the state. The bill, now gaining momentum on Beacon Hill, would end the registration and re-registration of the ALIs in Massachusetts, except in cases of declared public health emergencies. Under the proposal, the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, MDAR, would be empowered to establish strict standards for any emergency use, and only licensed applicators would be allowed to deploy the poisons under those conditions. Supporters say the measure is urgently needed because anticoagulant rodenticides, particularly the more potent second-generation products known as SGARs, are causing widespread secondary poisoning among non-target animals. These poisons work by preventing blood from clotting, leading to fatal internal bleeding in the rodents that consume them, but the toxins remain in their bodies for days or even weeks, passing into predators, and as hawks, owls, eagles, foxes, coyotes, bobcats, and even outdoor pets. In recent years, the problem has increasingly visible in Massachusetts. In 2021, SGAR poisoning was confirmed as the cause of death for two bald eagles, and in 2023, it was identified as a contributing factor in another eagle's death. Wildlife rehabilitators report similar impacts on other raptors and mammals, including cases where repeated exposure weakens the immune systems of predators, leaving them more susceptible to illnesses such as mange. While SGARs are already prohibited for consumer purchase and are limited in use to licensed pet control companies. Critics say that is not enough. Food is really the main driver of rodent activity, one pest specialist said, emphasizing that preventing, not poison, is the key. Residents are advised to tightly secure garbage, avoid leaving trash barrels out overnight, and eliminating food sources such as bird feeders or uncared pet food that attract rodents in the first place. Advocates argue that effective rodent management begins with basic practice, sealing openings as buildings, securing all animal food, and promptly addressing situations in industries. If treatment becomes necessary, experts recommend sharing with snap traps when provide a faster and more humane kill and eliminates many of the risks associated with the poisons. If poison need be used, it should always be placed inside bait stations and applied strictly according to label instructions. Homeowners hiring pest control companies are encouraged to choose providers who follow integrated pest management methods and avoid relying solely on SGARs. Companies across Massachusetts are also taking action locally. At least 21 municipalities, including Arlington, Boston, Billerica, Chelmsford, Lexington, Lowell, Newton, Topsfield, Somerville, and Waltham, have restricted or eliminated the use of SGARs on public property, and such as schools, parks, and municipal buildings. Several towns have gone even further to filing home rule petitions seeking authority to regulate rodenticide use on private property as well, with Arlington, Brookline, Concord, Eastham, Lexington, Norton, Provincetown, and others are pursuing legislative approval. State officials and environmental groups say that reducing rodenticide use not only protects wildlife, but also helps safeguard pets and young children who may be accidentally poisoned and exposed. Experts say anyone who encounters wildlife showing signs of illness or disease is urged to contact the licensed wildlife rehabilitation or animal control before they take any action. And we're told the gazebo intended as safe haven for Strongwater's mental health programs. Local unions lend a hand to build veterans' healing gazebo at Strongwater. The article is by Paige Impink in Tewksbury. On a clear, calm November morning at Strongwater Farm off Livingston Street, the sound of hammers echoed as volunteers work together on a project that goes far beyond lumber and nails. Members of Laborers International Union of North America and building Local 429 and building Workers Local 1433. Spent the day building a new visitors' gazebo, a quiet space designed to support mental health and healing. The effort was led by Stephen Colin of Local 429, along with fellow Tewksbury resident Nick Scenario, Strongwater Farm project manager Jerry Faniff, and both labor and materials for the project were completely donated. Conlon said the idea began simply with the curiosity. After driving by the farm countless times, he finally stopped in and one day to learn more. What he found, programs built almost entirely on volunteer energy and aimed at improving the lives of people in need, struck a chord. Once you see what they do here, it hits you, Coleman said. You never would have known unless you come in. It's all volunteer-based, and it really stays with you. When staff mentioned that a gazebo was on their wish list, Conlon said, Satiro stepped forward immediately. Soon after, Local 1421's business manager joined in, and the two unions coordinated everything needed to bring the idea to life. According to Faniff, the gazebo is intended as a safe haven for Strongwater's expanding mental health programs for veterans. Positioned near the riding arena, it offers a view of the horses while remaining slightly off to the side, providing a quiet, private place for reflection, one-on-one assistance, or simply a moment to breathe. These programs will follow and focus on mental health, specifically for veterans, Faniff said. It gives them a quiet space to relax, de-stress, and feel grounded. The effort is part of Laborers Rising, a statewide initiative encouraging union members to support communities where they live and work. Projects can range from the church steps to building therapeutic spaces. Had the great remains the same, give back locally to in meaningful ways. Some of the volunteers have family in the military service, while others simply felt called to help. As one volunteer put it, maybe that's why we're building it, because we didn't serve, but we can serve in a different way. More enhancements are already planned for the area. Local resident and matriarch butterfly advocate John Ryan is expected to help create a butterfly garden around the gazebo, adding another layer of serenity to the space. For Strongwater Farm, widely known for its equestrian therapy programs, the project requests more than just a new structure. It symbolizes a commitment that veterans in need of solace, connection, or quiet reflection will always have some place to go. You've been listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind radio reading. Lowell Association for the Blind would like to thank UMass Lowell's WUML-FM for providing the radio signal that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. Thank you for listening to Lowell Association for the Blind radio. There are many ways to listen to Lowell Association for the Blind Radio. You may request a free specialized radio receiver, or for more information about our radio reading service, call Lowell Association for the Blind at 978-454-5708. You can listen to Lowell Association for the Blind Radio anytime by dialing 1-359-9069. And you may visit our website where you can tune in to Lowell Association for the Blind Radio at lowellassociationfortheblind.org. This has been Leslie. Thank you for listening and enjoy your day.